Violence and the loss of human lives are everyday occurrences, sadly, in our nation. The Catholic Church has consistently believed and taught that all life is sacred from conception to natural death, a message that even non-Catholics know about the Church. I remember watching an interview on the NBC News about 15 years ago between Tom Brokaw and a certain elected official who often spoke about her Catholic upbringing. When the topic of abortion came up, the elected official said the Church wasn't certain as to when life began, even quoting St. Augustine, she pronounced Augustine, which is a town in Florida and a type of grass that is good on a golf course. When she finished, Tom Brokaw said, "I'm not a Catholic, but I think the Church is clear. Life begins at conception." Now, of all that we possess, the most valuable is life. Yet human beings still kill each other in wars and gang violence, crimes of passion and senseless drive-by shootings. Human life may appear cheap with so much bloodshed. Yet it seems only other people's lives are treated so cheaply. Protecting one's own life remains the most precious possession we have. Yet our Lord in this morning's Gospel from St. Matthew says, "Lose your life for my sake." No doubt this was very hard to accept then as now. In fact, scripture scholars tell us that when this Gospel of Matthew was written, it was during the time of intense persecution of the early church, and Jewish Christians were being expelled from the synagogue, and there was loss of their religious belonging, their social, their economic, and their family bonds and ties. It was a very difficult time to believe in Jesus Christ. Yet we will never begin to understand what Jesus taught until we accept that he had to challenge the mindset and practices of his day as fidelity to Christ in our lives this moment require sacrifices. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Practically speaking, what does that mean for us, gathered you here at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Lourdes this morning, those watching, and the people not able to be here because of distance or illness or a desire just to be with the Lord in the quiet of their homes? To begin with, we have to be honest. To talk of sin is easy, but to give up sin, that's something far different. As one retreat director said, "Discussion plenty, but confessions, how many?" Charles Foucault, the now beatified young man in his life, entered a church one day in France. He knocked on the door of the confessional, the Father Leven, and he said, "Come out, I want to talk to you about a problem." Father Leven said, "No, come in, and I want to talk to you about your sins." Foucault, struck by divine grace, entered that confessional, which was the beginning of his conversion. He became, after having been a Calvary officer and an explorer, a Catholic priest and a hermit. And Pope Benedict beatified him. He's now blessed. There's another story of a prominent man in the village of ours who came to see John Vianney. And he said, "I've not come to go to confession, but just to talk things over." And the saintly curé of ours said, "I'm not good at discussion, but I'm good at consolation." And once inside the confessional, that penitent, that prominent man in that small village, encountered the power of God's grace and mercy. And he found the strength to love God and others. He was a new man. He lost the life of sin and gain the life of Jesus Christ. But it means that you and I have to suffer a certain degree for the sake of our faith. It means, again, in a time of great secularism in a postmodern world, that we occasionally have to take strong stands for Jesus Christ and his church. But it also means, practically speaking, those daily crosses, whatever they may be, that we offer to God each day. Sickness and loneliness and financial worry, concern for children no matter their age. That's all part of discipleship. Now, it may not lead us to the Calvary of martyrdom, but it often leads us on a very rough road, but a path that always brings us closer to Jesus Christ. To lose one's life for Christ means to bear sufferings, not only of our own, but also for those when we come into service for them, the poor, the needy, the stranger, the refugee. Think about it. The people who are often remembered for generations, thank God, are those who gave their life serving others. And that's the why behind the church's works in education and healthcare and social services. It is our belief in Jesus Christ, who has told us, what you do for the least ones, you do for me. It ultimately is about sacrifice for God, our nation, our families. An important reminder as we prepare to celebrate the 4th of July. Although losing one's life is the only way to gain eternal life, our losses and our pains, our sacrifices and generosity will not go unrewarded. In our first reading, we hear of an elderly couple who took into their home the prophet Elisha and his servant. They were rewarded with the promise of the birth of their first son. Now, we may not receive a gift so blessed in this life, but the words of St. Paul remind us of the greatest of all gifts, eternal life. If we've died with Christ, we believe that we are also to live with him. But so often in the reality of this world, in an entitled and instant gratification age that seems to lend itself to shopping cart Catholicism, we find ourselves faced with a number of people, sometimes prominent, who are not willing to make even the greatest sacrifice for Jesus Christ. To live our faith each day is never easy. Much like the rich young man who went away sad because he had many possessions, people walk away from following Christ. I always love that passage from Mark's gospel, his account of Jesus and the rich man, because it characterizes the challenge to follow Christ, to deny oneself, to take up one's cross and follow him. If you read that passage from Mark's gospel, it's clear. Jesus loved that rich young man. That is, he wanted what was best for him. And what is best for us is eternal life. But Jesus also respected the rich man's freedom. Jesus did not force him to sell his possessions. But this is a crucial third element of that dialogue between Jesus and the rich young man. Jesus did not compromise. Jesus did not say, well, just sell half of what you have. And that's all too often what occurs today, a compromising of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The saints show us, and we're blessed in this our church to have 2,000 years of saints and martyrs. They show us that in losing one's life for Christ's sake, we find greater fulfillment, peace, and joy, and hope. From the earliest days, the cost of discipleship has been carrying the cross after Jesus Christ. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. There is no other path to salvation.